I'm happy to have all of you here tonight. My name is Collins. I know you already know me, but as most of you know, anytime I talk to you, I introduce myself. My name is Collins. It has been a good time for me to be in this church, all the time that I spent here. This coming May, we are going to Africa. I and my wife are going to Africa. And I haven't been back home for 8 years. I haven't seen my family for a long time. I remember the last time I went was 2012. It was through Trammels. We went to play softball. After we went to play softball, they asked me, Collins, do you want to go get something to eat? I said, okay, let's go. I went there and they told me that, Collins, you're going to Ghana. And I said, no way. They said, yeah, you're going to Ghana. They bought me a plane ticket for me to go. And I was able to go for 2 weeks, which was amazing. So this time I had opportunity to be going back again for a long time to see my family. It is pure joy. I am just happy. And why am I saying this? I said to myself that anytime I get opportunity to preach somewhere, I will say something to encourage you in the act of helping others or to give. Let me tell you a story. There was this family, and they were very poor. The only thing that they had for themselves was a can of soup. It was a mom and a son. And it was the only soup that they had for the day. So the mom told the son that, I want you to go to a room to find a can soup. And the son said that, Mom, I can go to that room by myself. It is very dark there. I'm scared. The mom said, don't be scared. Go get it. He said, Mom, I can do it. He said, go in that room. There's Jesus in the room who is going to hang you over the soup. He said, are you sure Jesus is in the room? He said, Jesus is in the room. Don't be scared. You are going to get the soup and come back. So the kid went to the room and stand outside. Said, Jesus, if you are in the room, hang me over the soup. And pointed his hand out, asking the Lord, if you are in the room, I want you to hang me over the soup. To you and me, you know that the kid is not going to get a soup by saying that. But the point of all this story, the story I'm telling you is that you can be the point of that you can hang the kid the soup. You can be that person that the Lord has blessed so much that you can help those who are in need. The majority of people who are just like a kid and a mom who can get what they can eat unless somebody hand them over the soup. So I want to encourage you that whenever you get opportunity to help others, just be that person who is going to hang over the soup to the boy who was standing outside. The Lord has blessed us so much. Today I'm not going to talk to you about giving people soup when you go home. I'm just encouraging you that when you get opportunity to help others, just do it in the name of the Lord, because there are a majority of people are depending on us. This evening I'm going to share with you a sermon which is very dear to my heart. It's a sermon that I decided to preach because of the things that personally I and my wife have been through. And personally, majority of us might be going through a similar thing. So I pray that by the end of my sermon, you'll be encouraged. I pray that by the end of this sermon, the words that I share with you will help you to love God more. Or whatever difficulties you're going through, you understand that you are not alone. The title of the sermon is The Wounded But Not Defeated. It's a headline, a headline that you have heard before. I picked that because it's very common. I'm wounded, but I'm not defeated. It's a strong word, wounded. We all have been wounded in our lives. So let me tell you this. Faith, pride, and joy. You see, there are a lot of people who live in areas that have a lot of things going on. All over the world. Now we have the new disease going around killing a lot of people. And you ask yourself that, all these people who live in areas that every year we have hurricanes, every year a tsunami is happening. These people still live in this area with the desire that they don't know what the next day or the next season they are going to live again. In all the difficult things that happen to these people, they did not move. They live in the same area. If you have seen on TV, kids who are from Africa, majority of them don't have anything to eat, not only in Africa, some countries which are really poor. But you see these kids on TV, and you see them smiling with joy, dancing, and being happy. With all the troubles that they go through, nothing moves them. They find the environment to be their home. They find a place to be a place that can give them joy. Even though the things that goes around them is really, really tough. And in the same stance, I tell you that these people live a life with assurance of life for tomorrow, with no assurance of life tomorrow. Yet they have faith, pride, and joy. I'm trying to set a tone for you that no matter how hard things are, we are going to still have the faith that we have. We are still going to have the joy that we need. We are still going to have the pride that I'm a Christian, no matter what. I have heard, not even myself, when things become so difficult, you ask yourself, is the God that I'm worshiping really true God? Because the joy that you expect to be found in Christ, you can't find it anymore. I put the picture I have over there, I was just Googling something. People are going through a lot of things. And this is the picture that I saw. This kid feels like he's in a swimming pool. That over here is like you're living the best of your life. But he just got out from a tsunami. And the house that they live in is all washed away, trying to survive in that environment. And I don't see any tears from his eyes. All that I see is a young little kid, maybe having the best time of his life. So I want to set that tone for you, that some of us may have had a rough time in the past year. Do not worry. You are alive and kicking strong. And I want to see you that way, that you are alive. That is the most important thing that you can ever think of. Because as I talk to you right now, somebody is dying. As I talk to you right now, somebody is already dead. As I talk to you right now, somebody is seriously sick, and he has been told that you will not live the next few hours or days. So be strong and be happy that you are alive tonight with me. So I want you to open your Bible with me to Job. Job chapter 6. So the book of Job, the reason I brought this up, that we all know the story behind Job. He was a very successful man. And all the success that he had, he was wounded. He was wounded really, really bad. And let's read what he says here. Job chapter 6, verse 1 to 13. Then Job replied, "If only my anguish could be weighed and all my misery be placed on a scale, it will surely outweigh the sand of the seas, and no wonder my words have been impetuous. The arrows of the Almighty God are in me. My spirit drinks in their poison. God's terror are marshaled against me. That's a wild donkey bray when it has grass, or an ox below when it was folded. Is tasteless food eaten without salt, or is there a flavor in the sap of a malum? I refuse to touch it. Such food makes me ill. Oh, that I might have my request, that God will grant what I hope for, that God will be willing to crush me, to let loose his hand and cut off my life. Then I will still have this consolation, my joy in relentless pain, and that I have not denied the words of the Holy One. Verse 11, what strength do I have that I should still have hope? What prospect that I should be patient? Do I have the strength of stone? Is my flesh bronze? Do I have any power to help myself now that success has been driven from me? If you read this and know who Job is, you will ask yourself that what did this man went through that he's saying this kind of words? Job is saying things that will make you feel bad for him. He said that God will be willing to crush me in verse 9. That God will be willing to crush me to let loose his hand and cut off my life. It is the same thing as saying that I want to die. I don't want to live anymore. Because all the success that I had, now my life is over. I'm wounded. The devil has got hold of me. Life has become so bad that I don't want to live anymore. Maybe you know somebody who has been through the same thing. Or you have been through a circumstance like that. That you told yourself that I don't want to live anymore. And you don't want to live anymore because you live in the world. You are a Christian who comes to church all the time. Just like Job. The Bible says Job was a man who was faithful to God. But when things became so hard for him, he said, I wish I am dead. Job is wounded. Job, in his world, cannot hold it anymore. Disappointment can be quite painful, regardless of how big it is. Somebody might have been through something that you think, oh, don't worry about it. What you've been through is not big enough. No, it could be a small thing in your life that is killing you inside. It could be a small thing that you think that on a scale, you compare it to others, you might like, this is something that you shouldn't be worried about. But that small thing is killing you. Tonight, I want to let you know that you're wounded. And being wounded, you're not alone. But somebody who was faithful, just like you are, went through a similar circumstance. And that person's name is Job. Like I said earlier, Bible says that Job was a faithful man. And God loves him. So that means that the disappointment that you're going through is not something to show that God doesn't love you. God do love you, just that you're being hurt, just that you're being wounded. So I put this up to just to remind myself that, so a year ago, this past year, I and my wife went through a lot. Things that we thought wasn't going to happen to us. To me, I feel so crushed that, wow, I wasn't expecting this. What did I do wrong? But the only thing you can think of is that it happened. It just happened. And it happened to you because, not because you're a bad person or because you're sinning or you're doing something wrong. It could be God wanted to test who you are. Just like Job, he was being tested by God. My wife took it so hard. So I did too. I remember there were a couple of people I talked in the church, and I said that I feel like broken because I don't know how to console my wife. I don't know. She's depressed, and it got me depressed. I don't know what to do. All that they say is that, Collins, we're going to work with you. And thanks be to God, today I can tell you, we are happy. The things that we wish for, we haven't got it yet. But we are so happy. Because God is alive, and his hope, and the hope that we have in him always give us a strength. Let's read Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 24. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 24. So I put this up to just give you that when you are going through a lot of things, it could be the temptation could be also because you're doing something good. You can be wounded for also doing something good. Let's read this. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Once when they were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed and he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face their authority. They brought them before the magistrate and said, "These men are Jews, and they are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating for customs and unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in an attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Verse 23, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cells and fastened their feet in the stocks. You see, sometimes you can go through something bad even when you're doing something for God. It can be a job. You work at a place that everything that is happening is so bad, and you don't want that thing to keep on happening. When you speak up, when you try to stand for the truth, when you try to be a Christian, that is when you are being chastised. That is when you lose your job. And you ask yourself, why did I even speak up? I should have kept my mouth quiet. Because if I keep my mouth quiet, I'm still going to have my job. But you decided to be a Christian. You decided to say that you're going to stand for the truth. And out of that, you get hurt badly. It takes somebody who is faithful and bold and strong in believing God to stand up for something which is bad. Sometimes we do not want to speak up. You might know a family or a couple who are in abusive, something that they're in is so bad. You decide as a Christian who stand outside, you said this person is weak, I'm going to stand up for the person. By doing so, you become a third person in that act. You say that this person is going through something which is against the truth. But society comes around and bites you. And you know what I'm talking about. Today, society we live in, you can't tell the world anything about truth. Just speak about anything which is against society today, and the Bible uphold of it. Oh, they will bite you. You cannot. They will bite you so bad. You'll be on the everywhere. Why did you say that? You hate this type of people. You don't like this one because you're mean. And the thing that you said was simply from what the Bible teaches, or the truth. Now people cannot speak the truth anymore because they are scared of what others will think of them. You cannot. And this evening, I'm encouraging you that you be hurt by telling the truth. Paul knew that this young girl, what she was doing wasn't right. So he did what was right. God compelled him to do what was right. But they got beaten. They were attacked. And at the end, they were put in jail. You have not been put in jail yet. you go home and take shower and sleep, you are doing great. But I want you to remember this, that you're going to get hurt so bad for being there for those who are weak, or for being there for God. And in that circumstance, I want you to tell yourself that you're doing something which is right, because that is what God wants to see you doing. But in all these things, one thing you should know, that no matter how bad you're wounded, no matter how bad things go, how deep you go, you feel like there's hope at the end. And that hope comes from what? Comes from what God has promised. Open your Bible with me to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." There's something in this verse that should make you feel so happy. When somebody tells you, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." I wasn't ready for that. Okay, good. Okay. So, God got your back. God got you. You just imagine that you know somebody who has a power, right? Somebody has power. If that person tells you that, "Hey, Collins, don't worry about this case. I got you. I'll be going home eating the best food that I have in my fridge, because I know that that person got my back." In this case, God is telling you that, "Do not fear, because I got you." That is the same thing I told my wife when we went through the thing I was talking about. We were dismayed. We went there. She said, "I don't know what to do." And I was also going through the same thing. But as we were going home, I said, "Don't worry about it. There are options. And God got us." You have said the same thing when you were in trouble. You have said the same thing when you were wounded. Those people that I talk about in the early chapter, I said that they live in areas with hurricanes. They tell themselves the same thing. They don't open their mouth, that their behavior, and they sack themselves that this hurricane, a tsunami, whatever is coming, God got me. I'm not moving anywhere. When your anchor is on God, you are assured that you find yourself that you're not moving, because God is our strength. Our strength is in God. Because of that, we are wounded, but we are not defeated. Some say the same thing that we can learn from. He says, "The Lord guides us in the way we should go and protect those who please him. If they fall, they will not stay down, because the Lord will help them up." When you fall, you will not stay down, because God is going to lift you up. You have fell many, many times. Remember? You have cried at night. Remember when things were so difficult for you, right? You thought to yourself that you can never be the same again. But God said that when you fell, when you fall, I'll lift you up. Oh, I want God to lift me up. I don't know. If I fall down, the only person I want to see him lift me up is God. Because if you lift me up, you're going to lift me up and tell Collins, "Are you good?" I said, "I'm good." "You will leave." But when God lifts me up, he's going to stay with me. When God lifts you up, he's going to be there for you to the end. But remember this, what it says over here. It says that the Lord guides us in the way we should go and protect those who please him. And protect those who please him. like what we hear this morning. You can't be in the world sinning and do your own thing, and you fell and you realize that, oh God, I need you. God is going to be there for you, but you have to always remember that God is going to be there for us when we please Him, when we obey Him, stay faithful to His words. I have fell so many times, but God lifted me up. And I know that in the future I'm going to fall again. And my hope and my strength and my belief is that God is going to be there for me. Because when I'm wounded, the Lord will not let me be defeated. I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that. We live in a world which is full of pain. We live in a world that every day you see people falling apart. You see people so much in pain. You see, let me tell you this story. The work that I do, I see people dying every day, right? Pronounce people, hospice. The unit that I work in, we also do oncology and hospice. Pretty much people have cancer and people who come to the hospital to die. So people come in to die. And I have a patient and he died pretty much. And you see the family members crying and all that. And I've seen a lot of them. Many, many people come in to die. And there's a family that I got that was so much. I was so much encouraged by what they did. While they were crying, the family member died, they were crying. All that I can hear from the room, I step outside to make them, give them time to, for themselves. I heard them saying that God is with us. She is gone, but God is with us. Consoling themselves. Everything, all the words that I've heard from the rumors, God, 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 God. I didn't know them, but based on how the attitude and the things that they were going through, I automatically said that they are faithful. They believe in God. In difficult times, your words will be the same. God is going to take care of me. God got me. God is with me. This sermon is not a long sermon. As we are still in Psalms, let's finish up with Psalms. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1 to 7. Says below, Isaiah, sorry. Psalm 46. Okay, Psalm 46, verse 1. See, God is our refuge and strength, everlasting present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, its mountains quake with their surging. There's a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nation in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the strength melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The God who brought his son to die for us is our fortress. This is what I'm going to end you with. It is the verse that the man came to read for us at the beginning of the sermon. Paul says something interesting to the church at Corinth that I believe that we can also take something from it. And out of that, we will leave here encouraged. He said, we are pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. It's a strong word. We are pressed by every side. That means that the world, life is just crushing you from every side. Some of us are going through similar things like that. Everything you do doesn't work out. You buy a car, the car breaks down, you think you got this, everything is going great, then something else happens and you fall behind, your health keeps going down, and you lose your insurance, then the house you live in, you can't pay your mortgage or your renting. Like, everything is not working for you. That is what Paul is talking about here. You are hard-pressed on every side. You can work, you can pay your bills. Everything around you is not working out. You feel like killing yourself. You feel like there's no worth in living again. But he said, do not destroy, but not destroy. Okay? No matter what you're going through, you are not destroyed. That means there's still more life for you. It's when in the beginning I said I was going to Africa. That time that I had an opportunity to go back to see my family. If you have told me, Collins, go to Ghana that particular time, there was no way I would have got that opportunity to go. I could not afford a plane ticket to go back. I was here for only 2 years. I could not. Life was hard for me, really hard. But by the help of loved ones and the hope, I still sustain myself in. But this time, I have been blessed enough that when I said I'm going home, I have the opportunity, I have the means to go home. But that time ago, I was being pressed on each side. There's more life in Christ. Jesus Christ loves you, and he is going to be there for you because he has been there for you. The fact that you are alive today, the fact that you are here in this building, it tells me that there is hope. But hope comes from believing that the future is bright, and the future is bright when you believe in God. There's an opportunity for you, if you are not a Christian, for you to put yourself to become part of the Lord's church. The Bible says that those who were saved was added to the church. All the things that I told you might help you, strengthen you to live in this world. But like I said earlier, people are dying every day. So ask yourself, when you die from this world, where are you going to be? Are you going to be in the Lord's kingdom? If you are going to be in the Lord's kingdom, it depends on what you do today or what you do tonight. The church can help you to be baptized, to be part of the Lord's church. And if you are part of the Lord's church, but life is crushing you from each side, and you feel like giving up, there's no hope for you, brother, sister, I'm telling you, you find yourself at the right building. You find yourself at the right place. You are sitting on the right pews, because we are here to encourage ourselves. I did not say all these things because everything in my life is going perfect. I say this to also encourage you that you are not alone. And we are here to encourage ourselves, and God is going to bless us. Seek help from the church, and you'll be so glad to help you. We are about to sing the song of invitation. If you need any help, you want to be baptized, come forward, and we will help you through that.